Hi, everybody. This is Deacon Louis Zimlick with the Epiphany Radio Program here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. Welcome to our program, and we're glad you're with us here today on this Sunday, January 20th, 2019. This is the second Sunday in Ordinary Time, and now as we're, you know, heading out of the Christmas season, going into Ordinary Time, but we're also, you know, celebrating these magnificent feast days, these spiritual epiphanies. And one thing that we're going to focus in on today, last week was baptism. And, you know, I, you know, hear from people sometimes, you know, that talk about, you know, infant baptism and that type of thing. So anyone out there who wonders what the church teaches on infant baptism, get your pens and pencils ready, because there are some scriptures that I want you to write down on infant baptism. Where entire families came to know the Lord, came into this family, were baptized into this family, including infants. And so this is from last week, from the baptism of the Lord when Jesus was baptized, and really showing us all how we come into this family, how we come into this family of Jesus Christ. So here's some of the scripture texts. Acts 2:38, Acts 11:14, Acts 16:15, Acts 33, Acts 18 and 8. And then of course there's 1 Corinthians 1-16. Also in the Gospels, there is the Gospel of Matthew 19:14, the Gospel of Mark 16:16, John 3:5, Acts of the Apostles 2:38, as well as Acts 22:16, Romans 2:28-29, and then Romans 6:3-4, and then once again 1 Corinthians 6-11. So my brothers and sisters, when people say that it's not in the Bible to you, and if you're a Catholic, believe me, more than likely, it's in the Bible, what we teach. We are the original ones who put the Bible together, for crying out loud. So it's kind of ridiculous, some of the stuff that's coming out of people's mouths from other churches and other pastors and even their universities, what they teach. And it's basically anti-Catholicism. It's teaching that is against the church in Rome. And it's been going on for thousands of years. There have been schisms in the church. There have been people who have risen up, even in the early days, you know, in the Acts of the Apostles, where some of this stuff is going on. There were people who disagreed. You know, Paul and Peter disagreed, but they didn't walk away from the church, right? They talked about it. They worked things out. But the original church, the Catholic Church, the original Christian Catholic Church, is still in existence. You know, 266 popes, I think, were on there. Our 266th Holy Father, our Vicar of Christ. And I tell you, my brothers and sisters, the more time goes on, I see these things. I hate to laugh about it, but it is almost laughable. You know, the things that we have come up with. You know, the different religions that have not only spun off of Judaism, and, you know, with Mohammedism, as well as the Christian church with the Episcopal church, the Church of England. You know, the Mormon church came out of that. Of course, the Baptist church is only about maybe not even quite 200 years old. But even you see these churches, and of course now, you know, many of them are closing, see? Because for some of them, you know, if you're not willing to stand for anything, then you'll fall for anything, right? And if you're willing to just become worldly and just like the world, your church is just like the world, oh yeah, we agree with this, we agree with that, you can do any kind of marriage you want, you can do any kind of baptism you want, you don't even have to get water baptized, you can just look up in the sky and say, oh Jesus, take me, I love you, and it's all set, you're all set, you've become a Christian. Well, it's baloney. That's what it is. It's just ridiculousness. And all I have to say about it is, you know, if it sounds ridiculous, it probably is ridiculous. And so, my brothers and sisters, we need to pray, but we also need to be smart. We also need to really think about who we're listening to, what preachers we're listening to, who we're, you know, who we're listening to on the radio, who we're watching on the TV set, who we're sending our money to. You know, somebody's talking to me about that the other day, and it's just like, you know what? Give money to the Kalamazoo Gospel Mission. Give money to the, to your local food pantries. Loaves and fishes. Give them money. You know, people need material needs too. Heating assistance funds. There's many organizations, good heating assistance funds. And I think even the, you know, places like Consumers Power and, Michigan Gas and those places, they have funds designed to help people, you know, to help people in need. So there's other things you can do. There's other things you can do with your money besides giving it to the church too. So, you know, keep that in mind. But I just want to forewarn you, a little bit of a takeoff from last week and infant baptism. Baptize your children. That's all I have to say about it. Bring them into the faith. They need that grace. They need that protection. They need that, the charging of the Holy Spirit to help them and protect them to grow in holiness and in the faith of Jesus Christ. And especially they need that protection, which I believe is there, that grace that comes from water baptism, being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so let us continue on, because today we're going to talk about marriage and divorce and weddings and things like that too, because this is the first, this is the wedding feast of Cana. Jesus' first miracle is performed and his mother is there, right? And we love to talk about the Blessed Mother and her relationship with us, her relationship with Jesus, and how all mothers work in this world. So before we get started on our scripture readings, I just want to remind you that if you're looking for any of our other radio programs, they are hosted on holyfamilyradio.net. You can go there, check the tab Radio Shows, Epiphany Radio Program. You can go there and you can check our different radio programs, past radio programs. They're all archived there. And if you're interested in anything about the Catholic Church, you can go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo, diokzoo.org. And also this afternoon, there is Right to Life for small babies, right? Here we go again, you know, talking about children, the most vulnerable in our society. And you know what? And even some churches say it's no big deal. Now, that's a sickness, is it not? That to get an abortion, to kill your own child, is no big deal. It's your choice. Wow. And you're a Christian church. Wow. Or you're a synagogue or a mosque. And you think that's okay. We've gone crazy. We have gone crazy. There's no doubt about it. And so we have that. It's at Bronson Park this afternoon at 3:00. And I hope you can make it. I hope I can make it. I'm just going to have to wait and see how the day unfolds. Sometimes different things pull me away, and of course life happens, right? But my brothers and sisters, if you can't be there, please pray. Pray for life. Pray for life. The healing of our hearts. You know, we're now at the point in here in our great United States where we're going to start going into depopulation mode. That's right. We're not replacing the people who are here. So all of you who are worried about things being overcrowded, you know, that there's not enough food at Meijer's, you know, not enough groceries there, we're all going to starve to death, right? Well, we're going to go into depopulation mode. And I'll tell you what, you want to see the end, that'll be the end. You know, that will be a treacherous thing. That's happening in Russia right now. And it's very scary for them too, because they don't have people to work, to produce things. And then you don't have people to pay taxes. And then it's a catastrophic event. And so, maybe that's what the devil wants, right? That's what the devil wants, is to just destroy us all. And I don't doubt that one bit, because we are God's children and the devil hates God. So pray. Pray, my brothers and sisters, and if you can make it to that this afternoon at Bronson Park in Kalamazoo, that would be awesome. But let's go right into the scripture readings. And this is the second Sunday in ordinary time. My name is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And this is January 20th, the second Sunday in Ordinary Time. Our first reading is from Isaiah 62, 1 through 5. For Zion's sake, I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her vindication shines forth like the dawn and her victory like a burning torch. Nations shall behold your vindication and all the kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, pronounced by the mouth of the Lord. You shall be glorious. You shall be a glorious crown in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem held by your God. No more shall people call you forsaken or your land desolate, but you shall be called my delight and your land espoused. For the Lord delights in you and makes your land his spouse. As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading today is from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12. 4 through 11. That's 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. Brothers and sisters, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God, who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. To one is given, though the Spirit, the expression of wisdom. To another, the expression of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts by healing by the one Spirit. To another, mighty deeds. To another, prophecy. To another, discernment of spirits. To another, variety of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing them individually to each person as he wishes. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And finally, our gospel reading today is from the Gospel of John, second chapter, 1 through 11. It's John 2, 1 through 11. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water," so they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it had come from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this in the beginning of the signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some beautiful words for us to contemplate and think about today. And in case you're just joining us, this is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today. My main parish is St. John Bosco in Mattawan, St. Margaret Mary's in Marcellus. And you can contact me through there or drop a note to the radio station. You can do that as well. But some powerful readings here today about divorce, about marriage. About marriage and about divorce. In our first reading, the church points out that this is the indissolvability of marriage, that marriage is for life, that God's love for us will be victorious over the worst infidelities and will extend his most precious gift, his only son, Jesus. My brothers and sisters, there is a deeper meaning in this, why God does not want divorce, why a wedding is so important, a wedding in a church done by a qualified preacher, by a rabbi or a cleric, someone who respects God, someone who respects the laws of God, natural laws of God. Because divorce causes severe trauma, my brothers and sisters. It is almost like a death. And I know that sometimes in situations where people are in danger, their very lives are in danger. I understand those situations. But today we've gotten to the point now to where someone has their uncle marry them, or they just get married on the beach or in someone's backyard, and God is not even involved. Not a word is said about God. But this scripture shows us, my brothers and sisters, that marriage is the image of God's love for us. And God never wants that bond to be broken. Do you understand that? God's love for us never wants that to be broken. God never wants that to be broken. And no matter what you do, no matter what you've said, no matter anything, God wants you back. See? And we hope that our marriages are that way. But you know, there's only so much infidelity. And of course, you know, even the church teaches, you know, infidelity is not a reason for divorce. It really has to be found that there was some defect in the marriage before the marriage even happened. A defect in the relationship. Something was not right. Something was not right. But let me read further on what the church teaches on this. That this second reading, this grace received, this gift received at baptism. And that God works through us. Another reason why divorce, this marriage and divorce, why it's so important to have God as part of that. I know married life is very difficult. It's very difficult. It's very sacrificial. You must sacrifice. As a man, you must lead. Sometimes, and for the wife must lead as well. Both together. Not 50-50, but 100%, 100%. Each of us now has gifts for the common good. All of us have these gifts that are given to us. Mighty deeds, prophecy, discernment of spirits, variety of tongues, interpretation of tongues, gifts of healing, faith. We all have these. To some of us are given this gift of healing, which is very prophetic when you think about that. And isn't that what our marriages usually need, is healing? But we walk away from God, we walk away from the church, and we can do it on our own. See? We don't want to do the difficult things like kneeling down and praying or saying we're sorry or going to reconciliation. But these are the things that help our marriage to survive, our marriages to one another, and our marriage with God, our relationship with God. And God says He will never walk away from us, never. And I understand that people let us down. I understand that. But this relationship with God can never be broken. We must never try to break this beautiful relationship that God has for us and wants for us. Now on to the gospel. That Jesus and Mary's presence at the wedding is a sign of Christ's presence at every wedding. And why Jesus needs to be part of that, and the Blessed Mother needs to be part of that wedding ceremony, the big party afterwards. I know when one of my daughters got married, we had a beautiful picture of Our Lady there on the dance floor. It was beautiful, watching us, looking at us, looking at our ancestors, looking at us from the heavens. That Mary is the Mother of the Lord, Mother of God, and to have this presence at every single wedding. There's this beautiful reading from the Catechism 1613, and I just want to read that real quickly, and it's quite beautiful. You know, when you think about it, if you don't have a catechism in the Catholic Church, I tell you what, it's just something that's extremely beautiful. I even have it highlighted in my, so we've read this before. But on, here it is, 1613 from the Catechism. On the threshold of His public life, Jesus performs His first sign at His mother's request. During a wedding feast, the church attaches great importance to Jesus' presence at the wedding at Cana. She sees in it the confirmation of the goodness of marriage, and the proclamation that henceforth marriage will be an efficacious sign of Christ's presence. An efficacious sign of Christ's presence. That marriage, you hear that, my brothers and sisters? That marriage is an efficacious sign of Christ's presence. And of course, maybe that's what we don't want. Maybe we don't want Christ to be that sign in our marriage or in our lives. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, it will be disastrous. Life without Christ is life without water. Life without food. Life without air. Life without shelter. You can live your life that way, yes. God gives us, He loves us that much, He gives us that choice to totally live without Him. But I ask you, my brothers and sisters, who has abandoned who? God has not abandoned you. God has not. God has not abandoned you. Scripture is quite plain. This reading from Isaiah is quite plain. He will never, ever abandon us. Never abandon us. Never forsake us. He will always love us. This marriage we have with God through our very baptism, we are brought into this body of Christ. We are married with God. Yes, men and women. God is not a man or a woman. God is God, the maker of all life. It's time to wake up. Wake up, my brothers and sisters. Wake up out of your slumber, out of your being lost in your own mind, in your own ideas, in the ideas of the world. And wake up that God is this love. Stop rejecting it. But divorce is quite terrible. Quite wounding. Wounds us terribly. Which is why the church is very much against divorce. Because they know how it hurts. It cuts. It tears apart families. Grown men and women. Sometimes for their entire lives. But Jesus can heal you. Jesus can help you. We want to reach out to help you, to love you, to bring you to wholeness. Also in this gospel, Jesus makes himself this manifestation to his disciples at the beginning to believe. First the shepherds, then the Magi, then John the Baptist, then the wedding feast. Now we are on our way, my brothers and sisters. The sign of the water turned into wine at Cana already announces the hour of Jesus' glorification. It makes manifest the fulfillment of the feast and the Father's kingdom, where the faithful will drink the new wine that has become the blood of Christ that we celebrate at every Mass. The body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. This vision of heaven on earth. The Holy Mass. And so we invite you, come to Holy Mass. Be healed. Come to this wedding feast, this feast of heaven on earth that God has planned for you and me. Put aside the traumas, the mistakes of the past, the hurts, the pains. Put them behind you. Put them behind you. Reach out for God. God help me. God help me to learn to love again. You know, so beautifully, I think about It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart, right? When he's out on the bridge, right? And he's crying. He's begging God. We've all been there. And if you haven't been there, then be there. Beg God. Get on your knees and beg God for help. Help me. Forgive me. Heal me from my past marriages and divorces. Heal me, my Jesus. Heal me. Help me. Help me to become the man or woman again you want me to be. And you will be. Come and receive the sacraments. Especially the sacrament of reconciliation. Receive the Holy Eucharist. Come back to this wedding feast. Back to this very beginning where we start our lives over again in the comfort and the love of Jesus Christ and in his church. My brothers and sisters, this is heaven. The wedding feast is heaven. The Mass is heaven. Come and be at peace. May Almighty God bless you all richly and heal you. May Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Be healed. Be healed. Come to Mass. We love you.